Ever notice how some people, those who are just like super chill, they can totally
Yeah.
flip a switch when something threatens their peace? It's kind of wild. Well, today we are diving deep into that whole paradox. Yeah, exploring Enneagram Type 9 wings.
Yeah, it's like this hidden depth they've got. You think you know them, easygoing, always avoiding conflict, and then bam, totally different energy comes out.
Exactly. And that's where those wings come in. But for our listeners who might be new to this, thinking like, wait, wings, like on a bird. Let's
Yeah.
break that down. What's that mean, like Enneagram wise?
Okay, so think of it this way. Your core type, that's the main ingredient in your Enneagram recipe, right? But then your wings, those are like the spices. They give it that unique flavor. So for our type nines out there, those spices are 8 and 1, the types right on either side of the nine on the Enneagram, if you're looking at that symbol.
Okay, so it's not like you are a nine and also another type. More like these influences kind of flavor how your nineness comes out.
Exactly. Some nines are going to resonate really strongly with one wing. Others use both. Depends on the situation, right? But figuring out your dominant wing, total game changer for self-understanding.
And for understanding the people around us too, right? Like my partner's a total nine, peacemaker to the core. But when we were buying our house, whoa, that eight wing came out swinging during negotiations. Never even knew they had it in them.
It's wild, right? Those wings can be dormant, and then the right or wrong, I guess, situation just awakens them. And then you're like, aha, there it is.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's break down each wing, get into the specifics. First up, 9W8, the comfort seeker. We know nines are all about peace, but what happens when you combine that with like assertive eight energy?
You get a fascinating paradox, honestly. Someone who deeply craves harmony, but is totally down to assert themselves to protect it. Not that they like conflict, but they won't shy away from, addressing something head on if it's messing with their peace.
It's like they've got this line in the sand and they're not afraid to draw it.
Exactly. And they're way more comfortable setting those boundaries than a pure type nine, probably. That eight influence gives them a really strong sense of self and a willingness to, like, really advocate for what they need. They'll say no. They're not afraid to rock the boat a little if it means honoring their need for that inner peace.
So it's almost like a proactive peacemaking in a way.
Yes.
They're not just keeping things calm, they're like creating the environment where peace can actually exist.
Yes, exactly. Proactive peacemaking. I like that. And you see in other areas of life too, not just personal stuff. Think about a 9W8 at work, for example. Probably super calm under pressure, right? But someone
Boom.
tries to take advantage of that. That eight energy is going to come out.
Right. Like, hey, I'm all about collaborating, but I'm not going to be walked all over.
Yes. They know their worth and they are not afraid to ask for what they deserve. That inner eight gives them a drive, even an ambition, that surprises people who only see that peaceful surface.
So it's not just seeking comfort for the sake of comfort. It's like they're seeking out a life where they can feel comfortable and empowered.
That is a great way to put it. And that desire for both of those things, that's what can lead to incredible strength. Like they can be so resilient, even when things get tough.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But every Enneagram type has its like downsides, right?
Yeah.
Those shadows we got to deal with. What are some of those potential pitfalls a 9W8 might bump into?
Well, if you think about it, that 88 energy, if it's not like consciously managed, it can become a bit much. Like they might get overly controlling because they want things a certain way to keep the peace, and that accidentally steamrolls over other people, even if they mean well.
I'm just doing this for everyone's own good to keep things harmonious, but it kind of backfires sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing for 9WAs is sometimes emotional depth. They really value comfort, stability, so they might avoid digging into the messier feelings, the stuff that could disrupt their peace.
So it's like better to keep things light and breezy on the surface than to rock the boat with all those deeper, conflicty emotions.
Exactly. But honestly, learning to handle those deeper waters, that's often where the growth happens for them.
Right, like, okay, I can create a peaceful environment out here, but can I create that peace within myself with all my emotion?
Yes, and that's where that self-awareness, that conscious effort to grow really comes in.
So for anyone listening who's like, oh, that sounds really familiar, what are some like surefire signs someone might be a 9W8?
Look for that assertiveness, especially when their sense of peace is like under threat. They're gonna speak up, set those boundaries, take action, where a regular nine might withdraw, go with the flow. This type's different.
Got it. Assertiveness in the name of peace. What else?
They're also more independent, probably, more self-reliant than your average nine. Autonomy is big for them, their own space, their own security. Comfort's a huge driver, and that means having control, right?
Yeah.
Over their lives, their environment, that kind of thing.
Okay, that's making a lot of sense. So we've got assertive peacemakers who really value comfort and they want their independence. Okay, I'm getting a much clearer picture of these 9W8s. Now, let's switch gears. Talk about 9W1s, the dreamers. How does that one wing with like the idealism, the focus on improvement, how does that flavor the 9 personality?
Okay, get ready for a fascinating combo because you've got that natural 9 tendency towards harmony, right? But now it's got this idealistic streak running through it, this desire to make things right in their own life and like in the world too.
It's not peace for peace's sake. It's like peace that comes from justice, from things being aligned with their values.
Yes, exactly. And it often shows up in this quiet way behind the scenes. They're not usually the ones leading the protests with the megaphone, you know. They're working behind the scenes to actually create that positive change.
They're like what? Silent revolutionaries, subtly shifting things towards a better world?
I love that. Silent revolutionaries. And because they've got that one wing, they bring this organization, this discipline, attention to detail. It can be seriously effective. They might not be as assertive as a 9W8 on the surface, but they have this quiet determination that gets stuff done.
I bet they've got spreadsheets for their peacemaking missions, color-coded and everything.
You know it. That love of order, of structure, it helps them actually take action on their ideals, not just dream about it.
Like, I'm not just going to imagine a better world. I'm going to make a step-by-step plan to get there.
Yes. And often they do it with this humility, this grace that can be really inspiring to watch. But of course, like every type, there are challenges. 9W1s have got their own stuff to work through. And one of the biggies, that inner critic.
Ah, yes, the dreaded inner critic. Tell me about it. How's that show up for them?
Well, think about it. One wing wants things to be right. That can so easily turn inward. Lots of self-criticism, self-doubt. They set high standards for themselves, so when they inevitably fall short, because everyone does, that inner critic can be brutal.
Oof, yeah. I could see how that would be a recipe for like inner turmoil, especially with the whole 9 thing of avoiding conflict, even with yourself.
It is tricky. Because on one hand, they want harmony, want to see the good in everyone, including themselves. But then that one wing is like, nope, gotta improve. So they're constantly feeling not good enough.
So it's this constant back and forth, like, do I accept myself as I am, or do I try to be better?
Exactly. And that struggle, it can show up in how they relate to other people too.
Really? How so?
Well, that judgment they put on themselves, it can get projected onto others, even if they don't mean to. It's not that they're trying to be critical. It's just that idealism makes it tough to ignore imperfections
Right.
in themselves and in everyone else.
Like they have this vision in their head of how things should be and when reality doesn't match. Tension.
Exactly. And that can make them feel misunderstood, frustrated, especially if the people they care about aren't into order and self-improvement the same way.
Okay, so we've got these idealistic peacemakers, might have a bit of an inner critic going on, and they are all about order. What else? What are some other signs someone might be a 9W1 if we're trying to figure out our friends and family here?
Look for that quiet striving. They'll be working hard, usually behind the scenes, to make things better, but not for praise, not for attention. They've got this deep sense of duty, this real desire to just make things better.
They're like the quiet heroes of the Enneagram.
Yes, love that. And they express their values, their opinions, often through what they do, not just what they say. They'll take a stand, but it's through thoughtful action, not big
It's
pronouncements.
like actions speak louder than words, but in the most 9W1 way possible, eh?
Exactly. And if you can sense that tension in someone, that push and pull between peace and wanting things to be right, that's another clue.
This is so insightful. I'm already thinking about everyone I know and where they might fit in. But for our listeners who are still figuring out their own wing, like which one resonates more? What are some questions they can like ask themselves to get a little clarity?
Ooh, great question. Well, first, what motivates you? Are you more drawn to like comfort, security for yourself, making sure you feel safe and good? Or do you feel a pull towards like a bigger impact, making the world a better place?
Comfort versus idealism. That's a good one. Okay, what else?
Think about how you deal with conflict naturally. Do you address it head on, even if it's calmly in a controlled way? Or are you more likely to avoid the confrontation and try to resolve things through like structure, expectations, gentle correction?
Assertive peacemaking versus structured peacemaking. Okay, I like it. Any others they should be thinking about?
Totally. Boundaries. What's your relationship with those? Are you all about setting those strong lines in the sand, protecting your own peace? Or are you more into holding yourself to high standards, striving for that inner order of self-improvement?
That's such an important distinction. It's like, are you protecting your own peace, or are you creating peace by like mastering yourself and living by your values?
Exactly. And last one, think about your energy. What's that like? Bursts of energy when you got to defend something, or more consistent, disciplined, focused on that balance and order you crave.
Those are such good questions. I'm definitely going to be pondering those myself. Listeners, I encourage you to do the same. And remember, this is just the start of our deep dive into Type 9 wings. We've got way more to explore.
So much more. Next time, we're going to look at how all of this plays out in relationships, communication styles, how they handle disagreements. It's going to be good.
I'm here for it. Can't wait. It's going to be fascinating to see these dynamics play out in real life. Until then, happy reflecting, everyone.
Welcome back, everyone. Last time we were diving into those fascinating Type 9 wings, the 8 and the 1, right? And how they bring those unique flavors to the whole peacemaker personality.
Exactly. And today we're taking that a step further. We're going to see how those wings actually play out in relationships. Like, how does it affect the way Type 9s handle this whole other layer of complexity? Because relationships can be, let's be real, kind of a minefield, even for people who are all about peace and going with the flow.
Totally. But if you understand how a nine's wing works, it's like this aha moment for their relationships. Like suddenly you get their communication style, what they need in a partner, even how they deal with arguments.
It's like having a cheat sheet to build stronger connections with the Type 9s in our lives. Pretty cool, right?
Right, I think so. So you ready to jump back in with the 9W8s, those assertive peacemakers, remember?
Oh, yeah. Bring it on. Tell me more.
Okay, so that 8 wing is huge EE for how they are in relationships. They're big on independence, strong boundaries, way more likely to just say what they need than a pure 9, you know?
What's likely to be a doormat in the relationship, you're saying?
Exactly. They're not going to stew in resentment if something's bugging them. They're going to address it, even if it ruffles some feathers. But because it's a 9, they'll usually do it in a way that's like direct, but not disrespectful.
So it's like, I love peace, but I also love myself, and I'm going to stand up for both, that kind of vibe.
Yes, exactly. And you know, that can be really attractive to certain partners, someone who wants that stability, that groundedness. They see that in a 9W8 for sure.
That makes sense. Okay, what about disagreements? How do they deal with conflict when it does come up?
They're generally good at seeing both sides, actually. Like they can usually find the compromise that works. But here's the thing, that 8 wing can make them take charge, even in an argument.
Oh, so they might bulldoze over the other person without meaning to.
Yeah, it can happen. Especially if their partner's more passive or just avoids conflict at all costs, the 9W8 got to be mindful of that, you know? Make space for the other person's side of things.
It's about that balance, being assertive, but also collaborating, right?
Right. And because they really need their independence, those
Yeah.
9W8s, they need a partner who gets that. Someone who's too clingy or demanding. Not going to work well, probably feel suffocating.
So just to recap here. We've got those assertive peacemakers. They want clear communication, boundaries are big, and they need their space in a relationship. Okay, got it. Now, what about those 9W1s, those idealistic types who love order? How does that show up in romantic relationships?
9W1s are interesting because they bring this really beautiful energy to our relationships. It's warmth, it's loyalty, that deep need for connection. They often go above and beyond for their partners, make everything feel stable, harmonious.
Sounds pretty dreamy, actually.
It can be. And that one wing gives them this huge sense of responsibility, dedication. They're the ones who remember every anniversary, plan the thoughtful gifts, always making sure their person feels loved and taken care of.
But they probably have a spreadsheet for all of that, too, you know, keeping everything organized, haha.
Of course, gotta have that order and that efficiency, it spills over into the relationship. But here's the thing, that one wing with those high standards, it can also cause some bumps in the road.
Uh-oh. Really? Tell me more. This is the juicy stuff people want to know.
Well, because they're so into doing things the right way, sometimes they're not flexible, you know? They can be a little critical, even if they don't mean to be.
I just want everything to be perfect. But then that kind of kills the mood sometimes, right?
Yeah. For 9W1s, it's huge for them to learn to loosen up a little, let things be spontaneous, realize that good enough really is good enough.
It's like I gotta find that middle ground between loving order and letting their partner just be.
Right.
Have some freedom and stuff.
Exactly. Another thing with 9W1s, they tend to bottle up their emotions. They'd rather keep the peace than rock the boat, so they don't speak up about what they need.
And that, my friends, is how you get resentment and miscommunication. the recipe for disaster, honestly.
For real. So any 9W1s out there listening, learning to just say what you need, what you're feeling, that's huge, even if it feels weird at first.
Yes. Your voice matters. And real harmony comes from honesty, you know, even when it's tough to say what you really think.
Right. And because they're so good at creating that peaceful vibe, you know, they might be drawn to people who are a little more, I don't know, fiery, intense.
Opposites attract and all that.
Totally. But it's important for them to make sure they're not like shrinking themselves down to fit with someone who needs a lot.
So they got to find that person who appreciates the calm, you know, but also encourages them to like let their own fire out to play sometimes.
100%. And I think for both wings, it's super important to remember relationships are a two-way street, right? It's not enough to just get your type how you are in relationships. You got to try to understand your partners too.
Oh my gosh, yes. Huge. Yeah. Meeting in the middle, respecting each other's good and bad qualities. That's how you create something where everyone feels seen and understood and all that good stuff.
Exactly. And when both people are on board with growing, learning more, being open to it all, man, the possibilities are endless. Love, connections, support, it's all there.
I love it. So we talked about how 9W8s and 9W1s deal with communication, boundaries, conflict, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Before we move on, though, I'm curious how these wings play out at work, because that's a whole other ballgame.
Oh, for sure. Wow. Totally different environment. Understanding that can be super helpful, though, for nines themselves and the people who work with them. It's like this whole other level of strategy, you know?
It's like having a secret decoder ring for the office.
Yeah.
Figure out those dynamics, help everyone do their best. Sounds pretty useful to me.
Totally. So let's start with those 9W8s. Calm, collected, but not afraid to step up when they need to.
Okay, I'm already picturing them as the ideal coworker, not gonna lie.
Right. They're reliable, they work hard, great under pressure too. And they're usually awesome team players, often the ones who can smooth things over when there's a conflict, bring everyone back together.
Sounds like a dream, honestly.
Yeah.
What else? Are there any more perks to having a 9W8 on your team?
Totally. They've got that natural leadership ability because of the 8 wing. They can take charge when they need to, delegate tasks, make sure things run smoothly, get done efficiently.
But they're not gonna be like the scary boss everyone's terrified of. Right?
No way. Remember, there's still a 9. Harmony, working together, creating a positive environment that's still super important to them. So it's strength, but with empathy. Pretty inspiring, I think.
I can see that. Respected and loved. Okay, that tracks. Any downsides we should be aware of?
Well, because they're all about boundaries, right? They can be a little too controlling sometimes or inflexible if they're not careful.
Got to find that sweet spot again, right? Uh-huh. Like we were talking about with the relationships, a little assertiveness, a little flexibility.
100%. And that need for autonomy pops up at work too. They often do well in roles where they have some independence, you know, set their own pace, that kind of thing. Entrepreneurs maybe, or freelancers, or even managers who have a lot of space to do their own thing.
So the workplace has to honor that need for peace and control. Got it.
Now, what about our 9W1s? They're all about ideals and details. What kind of magic do they bring to the office?
Okay, picture this. Organized, efficient, never misses a deadline. Sound familiar?
Okay, I am loving this. Sign me up for that team, please.
Right. They're also usually drawn to work that makes a difference, you know, like social justice, education, things where they can help people, contribute to something good.
Okay, so we've got compassionate, meaningful work. What else makes them stand out in the workplace? Give me all the details.
Well, that one wing, right. They've got that strong work ethic, amazing attention to detail, and they're really good at figuring out systems, structures, anything that makes things run more smoothly, efficiently.
So they're the ones behind the scenes making sure everything actually works.
Yep. And because they're so committed to doing things right, they usually go above and beyond. They really care.
Okay, but they're not going to be like the annoying coworkers who point out every tiny error, are they? Not necessarily. I mean, yeah, they've got high standards, but they're also diplomatic, understanding. They'd much rather give helpful feedback, you know, or figure out a better way to do things. They're not about tearing people down.
It's like constructive criticism, but with kindness. Is that a thing?
With a 9W1, it is. But just like with relationships, that desire for perfection, it can be a struggle at work too.
How so? What kind of struggles? Fill me in.
They might have a hard time delegating, for example. Like they have a vision, you know? It's hard to let go of the control, trust other people to do it exactly right.
Ah, the perfectionism trap. It gets us every time.
Every time. And that can lead to burnout, you know? So for any 9W1s listening who are feeling that, learning to delegate, prioritizing self-care, huge. And accepting that good enough is sometimes better than trying to make it perfect. That's a big one.
This is so helpful. So we've got our peace-loving, 9W8s who can totally crush it as leaders. And the detail-oriented 9W1s, keeping things running behind the scenes. Okay, I am seeing the value of understanding these wings at work. It's like suddenly people's behavior makes more sense.
Right. It's all about figuring out strengths, you know,
yeah.
Seeing what each wing brings to the table. And then you create a workplace where everybody can actually do their best work.
Beautifully said. Before we wrap things up for today, I kind of want to shift gears just a little bit.
Yeah.
Talk about personal growth.
Ooh, I like this. The journey never ends, right? Always learning, always evolving.
Exactly. So for our listeners who are ready to do a little inner work, you know, let's break it down by wing. What are the challenges, the opportunities, the stuff that comes up specifically for each one?
I'm here for it. Let's get real, though. Growth. It's messy sometimes. Uncomfortable. No matter your Enneagram type, it's going to be a ride. But if you get your own patterns, your tendencies, man, that's powerful.
Right. It's like you get a map for the journey, even though it's still going to have twists and turns.
Exactly. Okay. You ready to start with our comfort-seeking 9W8s?
Let's do it. What are some of those, like, growth edges they might bump up against? The places where they're challenged to, like, level up?
One of the biggest things for them is learning to be vulnerable. They're so good at being strong, independent, having it all together. It's hard for them to let that guard down, you know? Let people see the softer side.
Like they think it makes them weak or something if they show that they need help or that they're hurting.
That's it. But being vulnerable, that's where the real connection happens with ourselves, with other people. It's what makes those relationships deep and meaningful. So for a 9W8, learning to open up, say what they're feeling, ask for help when they need it, that's huge.
It's that whole idea that the real strength is being able to handle all of yourself, right? The messy stuff, the vulnerable stuff, it's all part of the package.
Yes, beautifully said. And another thing for them, emotional depth. We've talked about this a bit, but they're so into stability, comfort. They tend to avoid those bigger, more intense feelings, the stuff that might, you know, disrupt their peace.
Right. So it's like, let's keep things light and easy. Don't rock the boat with all that heavy emotional stuff.
Right. But here's the thing. You can't just ignore emotions forever. They don't just disappear. They go underground and then they come out in these unhealthy ways.
Oh, I've seen that. Passive aggression, anger outbursts.
It's not pretty.
Not at all.
Yeah,
so for the 9W8s, find a safe way to process that stuff. Journaling, therapy, even just talking to someone you trust. Whatever works. Being able to handle those deeper waters, man, that's freedom.
It's like expanding what they can handle, right? The kind of peace and intensity, comfort, and the stuff that feels risky or uncomfortable.
Yes. And that's where the real growth happens.
This is so good. Okay, now what about our idealistic, peace-loving 9W1s? What are they working on in their personal growth journey?
For them, it's often about learning to accept themselves and other people unconditionally. They have these really high standards for themselves, for the world, and it's so easy for them to get caught in self-criticism, judgment. That inner critic again. It just does not quit, does it? Not good enough. Could be better. It's exhausting.
Tell me about it. And for 9W1s, it's extra tough because it comes from this genuine place of wanting to make things better, you know, for themselves, for everyone. But that means they have a hard time just appreciating what is, enjoying the good that's already there.
They're so focused on the destination, they forget to enjoy the journey. I've totally been there.
Right. So for our 9W1s, learning to quiet that inner critic, practicing self-compassion, giving themselves and others permission to not be perfect. Life-changing, honestly.
Yes. True peace comes from accepting ourselves, flaws and all. And then maybe we can extend that to other people, too.
100%. And another thing they might bump up against, anger.
Ugh. Anger. I feel like that's something a lot of nines struggle with, no matter the wing.
It's true. They're so good at keeping things calm, avoiding arguments. They tend to just stuff it down. But that never works for long, you know? All that unexpressed anger, it's toxic. Leads to resentment, bitterness.
There's that saying, right? Holding on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Oh, I love that. So true. So 9W1s, learning to feel your anger, figure out where it's coming from, and then express it in a healthy way. That's where the growth is.
It's about taking your power back, setting those boundaries, speaking up for yourself, but without sacrificing your values, you know, or that desire for harmony.
Yes. And for both wings, it's important to remember personal growth isn't a finish line. It's not like you get there and you're done. It's this constant journey, this evolution, becoming the best versions of ourselves, owning our good qualities and the stuff we're working on, and showing up in the world as our true selves, you know, with kindness and authenticity and all of that.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
And speaking of showing up in the world, I'm curious, how do these wings play out when it comes to, like, change? Because life throws us curveballs, right? Things happen that we didn't plan for. How does a 9W8 or a 9W1 deal with that? Welcome back to the show, listeners. Are you ready to keep going with these Type 9 wings? I feel like we're just getting to the good stuff.
Me too. We've covered so much ground already, right? Relationships, how they are at work, even how those different wings handle change. But there's one more piece we need to talk about, and it's a big one, especially if you want to really understand Type 9s, or if you are one and you want to get yourself better.
Ooh. Okay. I am intrigued. Don't leave us hanging. What is this mysterious last piece of the puzzle?
Communication, like literally how each wing affects the way they talk to people, how they express themselves, because that's huge, right? Relationships, careers, even just our own inner peace, it all comes down to how we're communicating.
That's so true. I mean, you could have the best intentions in the world, but if you can't get your point across, it's like you're speaking different languages.
Exactly. And nines can be tricky because they're so focused on harmony that really shapes how they communicate.
Right. They'd rather smooth things over than rock the boat.
Yeah.
Classic nine, right? So how does that play out when they're talking to people?
So it doesn't mean they're afraid to share their opinion or anything. It's more about how they do it. And that's where those wings come in, like we've been talking about.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So let's break it down. Starting with our assertive 9W8s. What makes their communication style different?
Well, that alone energy, right? It makes them way more direct than a regular nine. Like, honesty, getting to the point, that's their jam. They don't want to waste time with a lot of fluff.
No beating around the bush for these types. Just tell it like it is.
Pretty much. They'll share their opinion, even if they think it might cause some disagreement. But they still value harmony, remember? So it's usually done in a way that's respectful. They're not trying to be harsh, just honest.
This is what I think.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to start a fight, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And they're really good at setting boundaries, which helps. Like, they can tell you what they need, what their expectations are. They're not afraid to say no or to speak up if someone's crossed a line.
Okay, I feel like that's something a lot of us could work on, even if we're not 9W8s. Being assertive but not aggressive, is that the key?
That's exactly it. Of course, there can be downsides too. Like, sometimes they can come across as blunt or even a little intimidating if they're not careful about how they're saying it.
This is just how I talk. Deal with it.
Yeah, sometimes it's like that. But for them, learning to soften their tone a bit using I statements and really paying attention to how their words are landing on the other person, that's huge.
It's about being direct, but still having compassion. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's switch gears. Tell me about our 9W1s. They're all about peace and having things be right. How does that play out when they're talking to people?
Okay, so picture this. 9W1s. They think before they speak. Like, they're not impulsive. They want to make sure they're saying the right thing, you know?
So they're probably not interrupting people in the middle of a sentence or
Yeah.
trying to take over the conversation.
Not really, no. They'd rather just observe, listen to what everyone else has to say, gather information, and then they respond once they've had a chance to process it all.
They strike me as the kind of people who can explain their perspective really well. Like they've got the logic, the facts. It's not just an emotional
Spot
reaction.
on. They love clarity, order. So usually they can communicate in a way that's really easy to understand, which is a gift for sure.
Okay, but they're not going to pull out a PowerPoint presentation to make their point, are they?
Probably not. Remember, it's still about harmony for them. They want to connect with you. It's not about being right or winning the argument. It's more like they just want to make sure everyone understands where they're coming from and hopefully find a solution that works.
So what are some of the things that trip them up? When it comes to communication, what do they struggle with?
Because they hate conflict, sometimes it's hard for them to say what they really need, especially if they think it might upset someone or cause an argument. They'd rather just keep the peace, even if it means not getting their own needs met.
It's that whole nine thing again, isn't it? Putting everyone else's needs first.
Totally. And it catches up to them eventually, you know. Resentment builds up, things get miscommunicated. They might even become passive aggressive.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah.
Been there. Not fun. So for our 9W1s who are listening and realizing this sounds familiar, what's the solution? How do they get better at this?
They've got to learn to use their voice, like actually speak up for themselves. Remember that their needs are important too. And true harmony, the kind that lasts, that only comes from being honest, even when it's hard.
Yes. Sometimes peace means having those tough conversations, right?
Exactly. And the cool thing is, those 9W1 strengths we were talking about, the calm, the order, the logic, they can use that in how they communicate too.
Oh, interesting. How so? Tell me more.
Well, they can be the ones who de-escalate a situation, you know? Because they're so calm and they can usually see everyone's perspective, so they can help people find common ground.
That's amazing. It's like they're the peacemakers, even in the way they talk.
Exactly. And that is a powerful thing.
This has been so fascinating. We've really gone deep with these Type 9 wings, haven't we? Strengths, challenges, relationships, careers, even just how they communicate. It's incredible how much there is to learn.
And we've just scratched the surface, honestly. But the biggest takeaway for me is that we can all grow, no matter our type, no matter our wing. It's all about self-awareness, figuring out how we work, and then building a life that feels good and true to who we are.
Beautifully said. And I think the Enneagram is such a cool tool for that. You know, it helps us understand ourselves, understand other people, and hopefully have more compassion for ourselves and everyone around us.
100%.
Well, this has been such a treat. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the world of Type 9 wings. It's been enlightening.
I've loved it. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, thank you for tuning in. We hope you learned some new things about those peaceful, harmony-loving Type 9s in your life. And hey, maybe you even learned something new about yourself. Until next time, keep exploring, keep growing, and keep embracing all the beautiful complexities that come with being human.